Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's be seated because we're going to need some time to respond to the word this morning. Proverbs 5, verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. A cistern is a storage place. A well goes down to an underground stream of running water. The water in a well isn't stagnant, it's not static. Wells are dug where there is an underground stream of living or running or fresh water. So the water you always draw out of it is fresh. So we could translate this as drink water from your own storage tank. Doesn't sound all that good as cistern, does it? Drink water from your own storage tank, running water from that underground stream where you have dug your well. Now, this is a very interesting scripture, I believe, a very important one too, because it's not telling you to draw water from somebody else's storage tank. Neither is it telling you to pinch water from somebody else's well. This is something you need, your own storage tank and your own well. There's two ways in which we can understand this scripture. One is personally and one corporately. Let's deal with the personal first. You have to dig your well if it's going to be your well. Whenever you pray, whenever you wait on God, whenever you're listening to His Word, either in Scripture or by His Spirit, you are digging your well. You are reaching down into the depths where there is a river of living water. I've been digging my well for about 60 years or more. And of course, when you dig a well, you keep it clear of all obstacles so that nothing is going to hinder you from being able to reach down and draw from that well. But you also have your own cistern or storage tank fed from the water that is in that well. This is the deposit of all that God has put into you, of His truth, of revelation, of His Word, all that has come to you by the Spirit. Now, what we're doing every day, or what we are to do every day, is we spend time digging the well, seeing that there's more water in the cistern or the storage tank, keeping it topped up, keeping it full. I might say this word this morning has got nothing to do with the weather. God has been talking to me about all this stuff for several weeks. So we're keeping the cistern full, we're keeping the storage tank full, we're keeping that well clear, we're digging even deeper wells all the time, getting down to purer and purer water. That well will never run dry. God promises that. So you're digging that well and keeping that storage tank topped up so that all through the day of every day you can draw on that living water. You have the resources available to you all day, every day for whatever eventuality crops up, whatever situation you're in, whatever circumstance arises. You have the resources. Now, where is this well? This well is within you. Where is the cistern, the storage tank? It is within you. The water, of course, is the living water that God Himself provides. It's the living water of His Spirit. You're digging a well that the Spirit of God can have a greater, greater impact on your life. You're storing up all the revelation of the truth and of the word that the Spirit brings you so you can keep drawing on that storage, all that is stored up within you. Nobody else can dig your well for you. Your storage tank is your storage tank. That's why this scripture is so important. Drink water from your own cistern. Now, there's no point in having a storage tank if you don't drink the water. We'll come to that in a moment, what that means. But you're also to drink from the running water that is in your well. You've got to keep drinking. So you keep digging, you keep storing, you keep drinking. Because the significance of having this well and this storage tank is so that that living water will flow out of you. So you've got to drink enough, not just for your own needs, but so that there is an abundance flowing out of you for the benefit of others, those around you, and whatever situation God leads you into. So it's good, isn't it? Yeah. That you have all these resources. And you see, digging is not a very exciting activity, but prayer isn't always exciting. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's hard work, sometimes you have to persevere, sometimes you just have to keep going. But the important thing to remember is that whenever you're praying, you're digging your well. Even if it's unexciting, even if you feel sometimes you're not getting anywhere, at least you're digging your well. Now, there's also a corporate way in which we can understand this. Kingdom faith is a well. Kingdom faith is a storage tank. It's a well because there have been over 30, 35 years now, various people that have been part of Kingdom Faith that have been digging the well that is now Kingdom Faith. Not just those that have been in leadership, but all those that have been part of Kingdom Faith, first when it was a community, then the training college, then the church. All these people have been digging this corporate well. Every time we meet here at 8 o'clock during the week, we're digging that well, we're topping up the system. And because that's a corporate well, it means other people can come and drink. And they do. They come to camp. Camp is what it is because we've dug a well. They come to leaders' conferences, to other conferences and other events, and they're drawing from the well, they're drawing from the cistern, the storage tank that is Kingdom Faith. Everybody that has been part of the praying community of what Kingdom Faith is has been helping to dig that corporate well. But you see, if you belong to Kingdom Faith, if you're part of Kingdom Faith, and even those of you who are students are part of Kingdom Faith while you're here as a student, then not only are you participating in digging that well, but you are drawing from that well. So you benefit from all that previous people have done in digging the well, in being able to draw from the system that has been filled up over the years. So this is a very rich verse because it shows us how we dig our personal well and we keep drawing on that. We keep drinking from that every day, digging and drinking, digging and drinking, so that we are enabled, empowered, anointed, full of God's life, vitality, grace, and power to do whatever He calls us to do. Calm down, don't get too excited at the thought of that. But you see, we're also at the same time drawing upon this corporate well that is so much bigger, greater, deeper than any of the personal wells that we have dug for ourselves. So we are doubly blessed, being able to draw from the resources that God has put within us as we've dug our wells over the years, but also at the same time being able to draw from this deep well, this great resource that God has provided for us through all that Kingdom Faith has become. Many people don't understand the riches of that corporate well until they leave Kingdom Faith. And then they realize that they still have their own personal well, but they don't have such a rich resource to draw from. And we need to be thankful to God for all those who He has used to dig that corporate well and to make it available for us. Now, in Scripture, what is this well? Well, it's the well of salvation. In Isaiah 12, God talks about the people of Zion that will draw with joy from the wells of salvation. This is a joyful activity. You drink with joy. It's intoxicating. Not like alcoholic liquor, but you get intoxicated with the Spirit when you draw on this living water. Doesn't mean you go crazy or mad or anything like that. It just means that God supplies what is joyful, what is good, what is exciting, what is exactly what you need at the time. Now, Jesus had an encounter with a woman by a well. And you remember that what He was telling her is that He could give her living water. And if she had this living water, she would never thirst again. Listen to what Jesus says about this water. The water I give him, I give a person, will become in him a spring of water welling up for eternal life. Now, because this well is within you, it becomes a spring. You're reaching down to that water spring that is beneath the surface. That's what a well does. But then that water becomes a spring in you, a fountain in you. Remember the other week when we were talking about this one and that one were born in Zion? We saw that the scripture says, all my fountains are in you. You see, all my fountains are in you. We're digging that well. We're reaching that water. That living water is welling up within us for eternal life. All our fountains are in you. It's as if Jesus himself, the Spirit of Jesus, is that river of water that we're reaching down to, that we're sort of plumbing the depths of, ever more and more and more, drinking deeply of that water so that it can impact our lives in a greater and greater way. Isaiah 58:11 says this, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, like England, and will strengthen your frame. But then it says, and this you can relate to, especially at this last couple of weeks, you will be like a well-watered garden. Yes. Now, listen to it. Listen to it. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. You see, because you dug that well, you're reaching down into that well, you're drawing on that living water, it becomes a fountain of life that is welling up in your life. But then, you see, you get this revelation that you become that spring of living water. It's not just that you have a spring of living water within you. You become that fountain of living water. You become like a well-watered garden. Now, this can be, again, applied personally. It can be applied corporately. Kingdom Faith is a well-watered garden. It is a fountain of life. But, you see, God is speaking to you personally also. You, personally, are to be as a well-watered garden. You know, people are getting a little bit fed up that it's rained day after day after day after day, but this is saying something to us spiritually, because God wants it to rain in your life spiritually, day after day after day after day. He never wants you to dry out. Even in a sun-scorched land, you will be like a well-watered garden. God might take you to a sun-scorched land sometime, not just on holiday, but to serve him. But still, there will be that cistern, that well, because wherever you go, you take your well with you. Wherever you go, you take your cistern with you. And even if God takes you to a place where there isn't a corporate well that has the same life and vitality that you experience here, nevertheless, you will become that fountain of life wherever God takes you. You're getting too excited again, aren't you?
Yes.
Now, God wants you to believe his word. You see, what he is saying to you this morning is not just that you are to have a fountain of life within you, All my fountains are in you. But this is what you are to become. You are to be a fountain of life. Now, obviously, it's not your life, it's his life. But you are to be a well-watered garden. You are to be like a spring whose waters never fail. The waters never fail because you're drawing, you're drinking on that water. Jesus said, you know, come to me. Come to me and drink. And then he says, from within, all those who believe, all those who believe, not just all those who drink, but from all those who believe, there will flow out rivers of living water. It's one thing to drink, it's one thing to understand that you can have this storage tank full of the revelation of all the goodness that God has poured into your life, that you've got this well that you can reach down and draw on all the resources of God. It's one thing to know that, it's another thing to believe, I've become a spring of living water for the glory of God and for the good of his people. It's another thing, you see, as Jesus says, it's easy to come and drink, but it's another thing to believe so that rivers of living water flow out of you. Fountains of living water flow out of you. That you become that well-watered garden. You become that spring whose waters never fail. You're consistent. It's not that every now and again you turn the fountain on or you turn a tap on. I think I told you that when we were living at the Hyde, there was in one of the, there was a, I mean, we had some big ponds, but there was also a little pond there, a little lily pond, which had a fountain in the middle. And we didn't run the fountain all the time, but if we had guests coming, somebody went and turned the tap on. You turned the fountain on. But you see, God doesn't want us to turn the tap off. Every day he wants that fountain to be flowing because it's not an ornamental fountain, it's a fountain of life. Amen. So here is a challenge to your faith about yourself. What do you perceive yourself to be? Someone who's got a storage tank, yes, a deposit of rich revelation that God has put within you. And those of you who are students, golly, your tank must be full by this time of the college year. How can you get any more in? Well, keep giving it away, and then there's more to room to pour in. And how many times of prayer and waiting upon God and the hours that have been spent before him over the course just of this year that have been digging that well. So it's great to have all these resources, but then you see the challenges. Okay, now, can you believe that you not only have these rich resources within you, not only is there a corporate well upon which you can draw, a corporate system which you can top up your personal system from, but can you believe that you yourself become a fountain of living water? Thank you for your response. This is the challenge. Now, of course, the living water is God, isn't it? It's not you, it's God, but you become a fountain of God. that those rivers of living water are flowing out of you. You're so full, you can't keep it all to yourself. And you become a fountain of living water. Recently, God has been talking to us about anointing. What I'm really doing this morning is describing the effect of anointing. You see, that anointing is that river, that fountain of life within you that enables you to do whatever God calls you to do, to say whatever God gives you to say, to be His mouthpiece, to be His instrument, His hands, in whatever way He desires. That's the anointing. But when I was talking last week, I made clear that the anointing grows stronger with use. You see, it isn't that you get more anointing. It's not a question of asking God for more anointing. The more you use that anointing, the more you are drawing upon that storage tank, the more you are drawing upon that well, the more that light, that spring, that fountain of living water wells up within you, the more it gets expressed in your life, the more it pours out of you, and it looks as if you're more anointed, but all that's happening is you're simply drawing on the anointing. You're drawing on the river. What is your anointing? I don't know whether you can take this, actually. I don't know whether you're ready to receive this. Jesus didn't begin His ministry until He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. After His water baptism, He came up out of the water and was praying, and the heavens parted. The Spirit came upon Him. That marked the beginning of His public ministry. He was led, of course, first into the wilderness where He was tempted, so that He would come through the temptation of not using the anointing for Himself, but for the purposes for which God had anointed Him. He made clear to His disciples that they could not receive that Spirit that within them, that He had within Him, until first He had been glorified. But that when He returned to heaven, He would ask the Father and He would pour out that Spirit. That Spirit would come. And live in them. Do you realize what that means? Can you see what that means? Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One. Can you realize you have the same anointing as Jesus? You live in Christ, the Anointed One, and Christ, the Anointed One, lives in you. How do you view your anointing? Can you see why we should honor the anointing? Because the anointing is really Christ. Christ in you, Christ in your brother, Christ in your sister, Christ in your leader. We honor the anointing, we honor the fact that Christ is in our brother, our sister, ourselves, our leaders. We honor them because they carry the anointing of Christ. And you see, God has been impressing these things on me because He says, out of the innermost being, the deep, literally, it means out of the belly or out of the guts. Out of the deepest, innermost part of your being, there are to flow rivers of Jesus Christ. Rivers of living water. Why is that possible? Because you have His anointing. You don't have my anointing, you don't have Pastor Clive's anointing, you don't have the anointing of the one sitting next to you, you have the anointing of Jesus Christ. You don't have to compare your anointing with anybody else's anointing, you just have to believe the anointing that God has given you. But you see, it boils down to this. Do you believe you have that anointing? Do you believe you have the anointing of Jesus Christ? Now, it's clear that nobody will manifest that anointing in the full and perfect way that Jesus did. But together within His body, the fullness of that anointing is to be manifested. Some will be apostles, some will be prophets, some will be evangelists, pastors, teachers, helpers, healers, administrators. But all with the anointing of Jesus Christ, the anointing of the Spirit, the glorified Spirit of the risen Christ. Can you agree with me that if you have such an anointing, you can do whatever God calls you to do, so long as you believe? This is why Jesus said, all things are possible to he who believes. This is why Jesus said you will receive whatever you ask in prayer if you believe. This is why Jesus said according to your faith it will be done to you. This is why Jesus said anyone who believes in me will do the same things as I have been doing. Why? Because you have the same anointing. Even greater things, because now it's the glorified, victorious Spirit that took him through the cross and back into the glory of heaven who lives within you. Enabling you to do things that Jesus could not do during his earthly ministry because the Spirit was not given because he was not yet glorified. but now he has been glorified, and the glorified spirit of the risen Christ is in you, is in me. That is not a piece of theological theory. This is the reality of the life that God has deposited within you. True doctrine is life. Just understand this. The life came before the doctrine. The life never came out of the doctrine. The doctrine came out of the life. Always remember that. Jesus didn't come with a set of doctrines. He came with life. He imparted life. The doctrines have developed out of the life. There are so many evangelical people who want their doctrine right, but what they need more than the doctrine is the life.
Yes.
And to manifest the life, the love, the power, the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can only do that in as much as we believe. That's what Jesus says. Out of the deep innermost parts, where you've dug your well, where there is that system, that storage, where there is that deposit of the Spirit of Christ within you, out from there will flow rivers in those who believe. Faith is the key that unlocks that. It has to be faith working through love. As we know, that's the motto, always has been the motto of Kingdom Faith. Faith working through love. I don't know if it still is, but for many, many years, it was always on our note paper. I never see our note paper these days. Everything gets done by email, but it was always there. Faith working through love. Faith working through love. Faith working through love. So, the big question is not what's in the cistern or what's in the well, but what's flowing out of the cistern, what's flowing out of the well, what fountain of life is flowing out. Have you become a fountain of life? What do you perceive about yourself? It's a shocking thought. Shocking in a positive, not a negative sense, but it's a shocking thought. It shocks you to realize you have the same anointing as Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God has come upon you as it came upon him, not as a dove. But the manner of the coming is not important. What is significant, I mean, it came upon him as a dove. He's the only one that could receive the Spirit like a dove. Why? Because there was no resistance to the Spirit within him. With the disciples, it came like fire that purged and cleansed, wind that blew out of their lives every negative, everything that opposed the Spirit, and imparted everything that was of the Spirit. But with Jesus, it could just be a very peaceful descending of the Spirit, like a dove descending upon him, because there was nothing in him to contradict the life of the Spirit. But no matter how the Spirit came to you, you have the Spirit. You have Christ within you. You have the anointing of Jesus. Now, of course, this is no occasion for pride, because Jesus himself said that he was gentle and humble of heart. It's not a question of strutting around some stage saying, I've got the anointing of Jesus, now you just watch my smoke. You just watch what I would do with the anointing. No, you see, it's humbly realizing that your weakness doesn't matter because the anointing of Christ is within you. This is why Jesus taught Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Because in your weakness, you won't try to do it. In your weakness, you'll let me do it through you. In your weakness, you will depend upon me. So Paul said, well, in that case, I will rejoice in my weakness that the power of God may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Strong with what? Strong with the anointing of Christ himself. The anointing of his Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is this well? It's reaching down into the depths of your innermost being by faith, so that fountains of life will flow out of you, so that you become for the glory of God and for the good of other people a fountain of his life. Who is God talking about this morning? He's talking about you. You see, he's talking about you personally. He's talking about you corporately. Both things are true. Hallelujah. Of course, it means that we have to learn to release those fountains of life wherever we happen to be. But it means also, and this is going to be significant for the future of most of you, it's allowing God to lead you and to put you where he wants those fountains of life. You see, he may put you in a desert, in a sun-scorched land, where all you've got to depend upon is him and the anointing. And then you'll be thankful that your well is deep and your cistern is full. You never know where God is going to put you, plant you, lead you. It's good to be in a place like this, but, you know, God has brought some of you here for a year, 2 years, to get your cistern full and your well dug and the fountains flowing, so then he can take you out to the desert. Because let me tell you, it's a desert out there, spiritually. But that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's not a question of coming to Bible school and getting blessed for 2 years. It's coming to be equipped. It's coming to become that fountain of life that God has called you to be. And that's the exciting thing, that life, Jesus said to that woman, I mean, this woman was an immoral woman at the time, you know? But she was saying, look, your life can become so much better and useful and fulfilling Because the water that I give wells up from within you to become a spring of eternal life. See, just imagine that. You get those springs flowing, and wherever God leads you, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. Yeah, there'll be healings and things like that, because that's all an aspect of eternal life. But what God is concerned about is that his kingdom will come and his will be done. And that his kingdom will be extended in preparation for when he comes again. That fountain welling up within you for eternal life. Yes, Lord. This one, that one, were born in her.
Yes.
All my fountains are in you. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Do you believe that you have the same anointing as Jesus? That's the challenge. Because then you can think in his name, speak in his name, act in his name, pray in his name. And whenever you do any of those things, it's Jesus who will be revealed.
Yes.
Not you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thought I'd say that because nobody else did. Come on, let's all stand.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.